I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Did Joe Biden take payments from Burisma or any other foreign companies as vice president, president, or private citizen Biden?
As you may know, there is an ongoing investigation being led by the U.S. attorney in Delaware, Mr. Weiss, can be sure.
So the president is under, investigation.
I'm not going to confirm or speak to who is or isn't under investigation for what. I'm simply going to tell
you. So he's not under investigation?
I didn't say that either.
That was part of the exchange going on yesterday as FBI Director Christopher Wray was appearing in front of Congress, the Judiciary Committee, answering questions. He's there because he's got to go to Congress to ask for more money. He wants more money for the agency. And really what they want to do is more money to build a new FBI building, which would cost more than the current Pentagon building had cost, which was something like $900 million at the time it was built. And we're talking about billions here. Rather than hiring more agents and doing more true investigative work, they want nicer offices. To hell with that. I think I made my point clear, did I not? Did you not like the question from the beginning? That question came from Congressman Tim Tiffany of Wisconsin. Did the Bidens take any money? Well, I can't talk about that. Was he under investigation for that? I can't talk about that. So he is under investigation. I can't talk about that. I love it. I mean, it's a cat and mouse game that goes around and around. It is the dog chasing its tail. Thanks for joining us as always. Here we are, July 14, 2023. And I remind you, during the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday, we do a live stream. And we're on numerous channels. No way you could miss us. Let your family and friends know. We're on Rumble. We're also at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook, or News Talk STL Twitter. I mean, we're everywhere. So let your family and friends know there's no way they can miss the program. And by chance, if you can't see it live, you can always pull it up later as a video podcast. And all the audio podcasts are available also at LarryConnorsUSA.com. We've got you covered. Well, yesterday you had Congressman Tiffany, among others, raising questions of the FBI Director Wray. What did he end up saying? Let me think here for a moment. I'm going through the questions. I'm going through his answers. The questions were pretty good, pretty decisive. They could have been stronger in some areas. But for his answers were always very, very clear. I don't know. I can't say. I can't talk about it. We'll have to get back to you. I don't know those numbers. Well, I know how many numbers of Floridians have suddenly decided to join the FBI. I know how great our numbers look for getting members from Florida to join the FBI. And from Texas, those numbers I know. But I don't know how many agents we assigned to January 6th committee investigation. I don't know how many agents are actually helping track down illegals in the country that are guilty of crimes. I don't know nothing. And I'm not going to come in here with a paper in my hand so you can say, what are you reading from? What do you got there? We want that. We want a copy of that. So you heard how the question went from Congressman Tiffany of Wisconsin. Congressman Gates of Florida did raise a question, and I loved his question as well. And, of course, the reaction from the FBI director. And I want you to hear both, and then Congressman McCarthy's reaction.
Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not.
Do you believe that? Do you agree with what Christopher Wray said? Do you think that he's credible with that answer, Speaker?
He's not credible with the answer. And I think his whole testimony shows the FBI is actually broken under his leadership. And I'm not talking about the rank and file agents who are doing their job every day. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the work you're doing. But the bureaucracy is broken. Because remember what Wray said even in his testimony here. He wouldn't answer questions. He didn't tell us why the FBI went after Catholics. He wouldn't apologize when the FBI went after parents. He wouldn't tell us or apologize for using companies to spy and their data to spy on average Americans. But what's even more importantly, when he knew he had a 1023, a person that he actually still pays to this day, an informant, that provided him information about the Biden Inc. family, he ignored it. And he didn't pass it on to the IRS that was looking into it. So no, he has not been equal justice. And so he does not have the trust of the American public. And that's bad because his agency is a great agency that has to protect America. And the bureaucracy now he's created has broken the system.
I think we all see that and know it. And it is such a shame. I mean, even though Hoover was appointed first FBI director and ended up kind of making it his own little spy agency to collect information on any political opponents or any members of Congress who might someday try to take his job from him, and even going after civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King and others, this FBI here is dirty from the very top. And as they often say, the fish rots from the head down. Now, you get below the D.C. level. You get into the rank-and-file members of the FBI who are doing their job on a daily basis. And I know they've got to feel discouraged. Morale has to be down. They just, you know, we're a laughingstock. Thank God for those who are dedicated and still on the job, because we need you. And we do thank you for what you are doing when you're actually following law, not politics as directed from the Biden White House, the Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice, or even your FBI Director Wray. Now, we know, of course, in addition to the investigations about Joe Biden, which they won't talk about, he admitted there's an investigation I can't talk about because they're going on in Delaware. So he is under investigation. Well, I didn't say that. So he's not under investigation. I didn't say that. See, I've always liked that philosophy in the sense that if you're trying to be evasive, it's perfect. In fact, for years when I was teaching young journalism students, I would do a scenario play with them like that, telling them that I was an FBI agent. They had to get information from me. And they'd be asking a question. And I'd say, well, we don't discuss cases that we are not investigating. Oh, so you are investigating. No, I didn't say that. I said, we don't discuss cases we're not investigating. That's part of our policy. And the other part of our policy is we don't discuss cases we are investigating. I love our policy. That's what he's doing. For those students who took those classes from me, you're seeing exactly what I portrayed to you happening right now in front of you, in front of Congress, with the FBI Director Christopher Wray. But there's still a lot of questions about the Biden crime family. And yes, I'm using that term, Biden crime family. They may want to sue me, so be it. Because when all the documents are presented and all the bank records, there's going to be evidence of money paying out and how far it goes and into whose pockets. That'll be the question. The SARS reports, the suspicious activity reports filed by the banks already show money flowing from China, Russia, Russian oligarchs, Ukraine, into Biden shell companies, and then into members of Biden families. Romania is now one of the latest that's being brought up in front of the Oversight Committee. Maria Bartiromo picked up that part of the story with Tennessee Congressman Burchett, who is on that House Oversight Committee.
The committee flagged back in May of 2014 that then Vice President Joe Biden visited Romania a year later in September of 2015. Romania's president visited the White House. And then just 2 months after that visit, money started flowing into the Biden family accounts. A Romanian businessman was charged with corruption. He reportedly wired over $1 million to the Bidens over the course of 2 years. Congressman, is what we're hearing from your committee. Can you tell us any more about this?
Yes, ma'am. And also, you have to realize, too, there's an IRS agent now who's saying that, you know, he was basically pressured into not doing his job. This whole thing stinks. You've got the family getting money, and they don't have a product. And another thing they're not telling you is they didn't pay taxes on that dadgum money, Maria. You know good and well, if you and I had not paid taxes on over $1 million or $50 for that matter, they'd be on you. I mean, the poor American, this White House has gotten people on, if you sell over $600 a year on eBay, and they have no product to sell other than influence. This thing is a disaster, and it is a cover-up. Once again, this White House is guilty as sin. They got their hands caught way deep in the cookie jar, up to their elbows, and yet this Justice Department just turns a blind eye to the whole thing.
Blind eye to it. Although he might have just given the Biden family a new idea. Hey, let's go to eBay and sell our influence on eBay. Now, next Wednesday, as you were hearing them allude to, there will be an IRS whistleblower appearing in front of Congress. And the congressman discussed that in more detail.
I think they'll show the trail of the money, and they'll show that the Justice Department has refused to follow that trail, and that they were influenced, or their careers were threatened because of this. And that's why one of the members is not even being named, and they will be named at the course of the meeting. But this whole thing just stinks. The IRS, and again, another alphabet agency, is rotten at the core. And everybody wants to pick and choose, Maria. This Congress has to get some guts and start cutting the funding for these agencies until they start doing what's right.
Do you think they will? You think you will? Will you be able to do that?
I doubt it. This bunch up here, they all rattle the sabers, but then they get pretty gutless.
They get pretty gutless. That's calling them out. And, of course, then we have the issue of cocaine in the White House. The Biden having a party, come have coke with us. But the Secret Service is clueless as to how it got there. Now it's closed the case, no suspects, we're done.
This is the most secure building probably in America. Just to get into the door before you get through the gate, you go through security. As a member of Congress, when I come with my own security, I still go through security. They have cameras 24/7. It just seems to me, when it comes to the Biden Inc. family, they get treated different than anybody else. If they can't tell us, first, where the cocaine was even located, they gave us three different locations. You know this location, right by the Situation Room. Very few people get to go around there. But if they can't tell us who brought it, what else is happening in the White House they can't tell us about? What else is coming into the White House they can't tell me about? That even concerns me more now.
Yeah, he's worried about what kind of listening devices and so forth. But actually, there have been other drugs also found in the White House. We're just now being told about it because of this. Congressman James Comer.
Being one of two things has happened here. Either number one, the Secret Service is lying to us and they're covering for someone, or number two, they're incompetent, because this is supposed to be the most secure dwelling in America. And for the Secret Service to admit to the world that not only can they not figure out who dropped off a white powdery substance in one of three locations in the White House, that, remember, that story's changed three times where the cocaine was actually found, but also that there have been two other instances where illegal drugs were found on the premise in the White House. This is unacceptable. We spend a lot of money, a lot of tax dollars, to make sure that we have the best Secret Service that money can buy, but yet they can't determine who brings illegal substances into the White House. I think that's very disturbing.
And the other point being, the other drugs, by the way, apparently are marijuana. They're drug-sniffing dogs that you have to encounter every time you're in and out of the White House, unless your family are special guest diplomats of that nature. You don't have to go through the magnetometers. You don't have to be inspected because, you know, you're pristine. You're clean as white snow, freshly fallen. You are a Biden, or associated with a Biden. That's what it comes down to. And again, when they say no cameras, and they have told, as you heard both Congressman Comer and Congressman McCarthy point out, they've changed their story three different times. And of course, in the latest story is what was found in a locker, box number 80, where there are apparently 180, and the key is missing. Well, was it open? Is that how they saw it? This is an area where you take cell phones, things of that nature, you're not supposed to have near the Situation Room or the Oval Office, and you put them in there, and you lock it up, then you retrieve it when you go. Well, somebody left and didn't bother to pick up the baggie? What'd they do, shove the bag, forget about it? Or just walk out and forget about it? And again, we would not have known. I remind you again, we would not have known except when the FBI found it, and or Secret Service. And again, I don't know how they found it. If it's locked and there's no key, did they pop it open? I mean, what alert? Did the dog sniff on something? And then they looked at it. They had not made that part of the story clear either. And they can't get any prints of any type off the baggie. Well, that's because apparently they decided when they called in the fire department, they didn't know they had a hazmat issue, and they decided to blow it up, take it somewhere and blow it up, and then realize, well, we destroyed whatever evidence we might have had, except we could prove it's cocaine, not some kind of bioweapon. The point we keep coming back to, as Congressman McCarthy is going to remind us, the Bidens always get cover.
When the Hunter Biden laptop came public, what did the Biden Inc. family do? They used soon-to-be our Secretary of State to go out, call people who have been CIA directors, call people all in the intel community to sign a letter to tell the American public it was false,
right,
when they personally knew it was true. So it just shows, when it comes to the Biden Inc. family, they are treated different than every other American family. Think about this. If you've done something wrong on your taxes, the IRS comes after you. If you're part of the Biden family, they wait 6 years so the statute of limitation goes away, and you can take money from Ukraine. You can take money from China, and you won't be found guilty.
No, you will not be. If your last name is Biden or related in some way. And of course, coming up, under the Biden White House, it certainly seems we are more concerned about pronouns in our military than preparing to fight an actual enemy. There is a proposal to cut all DEI programs from the military. And that's where the fight started in the House chamber. You're going to love this. You don't want to miss that. That's still to come before we wrap up this hour. Plus, Dr. Rick Lehman joining us from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, on how Pfizer lied about the vaccine and its ability to fight COVID, and how it might have endangered young people, athletes, and others. And then mitochondria. Do you know what it is? Can it give you a longer life? Symptoms that you don't have enough and you might be close to dying? Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The nightfall will be coming soon. Oh my, my, oh hell yes. You got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Recently, there have been allegations and statements that Pfizer lied and knew it was lying about the efficacy of its vaccine to fight COVID from the very beginning. But they continued the lie. And why? Money. To help break down that story and a couple other things for us, Dr. Rick Lehman, founder of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you on board again, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
Now, you treat a lot of sports athletes, and there were young men and women, young men in particular, after getting a vaccine shot, were suddenly having heart ailments and issues and abnormalities, and even younger children. Then no one wanted to say it had anything to do with Pfizer to begin with. Let's begin with that part of the story as opposed to lying about the efficacy of the vaccine. What have you seen and heard of reference heart issues?
Well, you know, so I think the bottom line is you're taking a perfectly healthy person that has a very low risk of a problem with COVID, and you're interjecting issues. And we have seen long hauler syndrome, cardiovascular problems, pericardial problems, heart problems, and lung problems in these athletes. And right now I'm dealing with a young long distance runner who's about 9 to 12 months out from her vaccination, and she's still trouble breathing, can't train, etc. Career is on hold. And this is not as uncommon as you think. So again, it's not every patient, don't get me wrong, but certainly all these people that would have had probably very little issue with COVID are still having issues that are cardiovascular and may take a year to 2 years never to resolve.
And on top of that, a lot of them were told if you're going to compete or be in some of these things, you have to have the vaccine. And Pfizer has a vaccine, and it's going to make you 100% proof positive. You won't have to worry about COVID to begin with, much less what it might do to your body otherwise. And that was a lie.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, we all know what Novak Djokovic went through. You know, he hasn't been vaccinated. We can go Kyrie Irving. You know, a lot of these athletes just decided, I'm not having it, and they were going to deal with the repercussions. But they're healthy and they're not having any problems. But again, they knew that there were two issues. They knew that there were problems with the vaccine.
Pfizer knew.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. They knew that they had a percentage of people that were going to have issues, pericardial problems, lung problems, etc. And they also knew, more importantly, that if you took the vaccine, it wasn't going to prevent you from getting COVID, which it's clear to everybody now, but in the beginning that wasn't clear.
And so why would they continue to lie and let the story go out there when they knew that?
Well, you said it. I mean, first of all, they're making a fortune, and every time they decrease the age of vaccinating people, you know, they make another whatever. I have no idea. Billion, 10 billion, 50 billion. I have no idea. So, of course, they're making a killing. From the beginning, you know, 250, 300 million vaccines. Now you're going to do it every 6 months. Now you're going to do it every 4 months. Sure, it's a money thing. And it wasn't just Pfizer, believe me. All these vaccination companies knew the same thing.
And they lowered the age all the way down to 6 months, which means a fetus would be below the age of 6 months, and they're letting pregnant women get it, which means it was going direct to the fetus.
Well, I think once they got down to 18 or younger, I think people really realized what was going on. It's one thing to say everybody 65 and over should get vaccinated, immunocompromised people, diabetics, overweight people. I get all that. I'm on board. Then all of a sudden you're saying now down to 21, now down to 18. Now then I'm saying, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with an 18-year-old or a 21 or even myself getting COVID. I've had it a couple times. You know, I'm sick for a day or two, probably no worse than the flu. And again, everybody's going to have a different response to it. Don't get me wrong. But again, I think that once we get into vaccinating healthy people, then you have to look at the yin-yang. You have to look at the positives and the negatives, and there are big negatives.
There's another issue I want to bring up, and a lot of folks might not be that familiar with it, mitochondria. I know there's a mitochondria DNA, and then there's just mitochondria. Explain the difference very quickly for us to that extent.
Well, so there's two kinds of DNA. There's nuclear DNA, the DNA that's in every cell, and there's mitochondria DNA. And let's walk this back 1 second. The mitochondria are what provides the energy for the cell. They're the powerhouse. They're the engine. And so when you age, what happens is you have breakdown of the mitochondria, the thing that provides the energy, and it can't repair itself. So you get what's called reactive oxygen species, basically pieces breaking off that can't, these little ROS or reactive oxygen species break down the mitochondria so they can't heal themselves, and you lose the energy source of the cell, and that's what creates aging.
So this is, if they could solve this, it might extend life and we would not be that concerned about aging or cells aging, the body aging. Am I overstating that?
Well, I mean, I think that's simplifying it, but that's correct. I think once we get to the reason, and certainly the mitochondria theory of aging is one of the reasons, it may not be the only reason, but once we get to a place where we can stop on the nuclear level, the DNA level, the cellular level of aging, things will, you know, and people have studied jellyfish and these blue zones where people live a long time. Jellyfish live 400 or 500 years. Why is that? Why don't they age like we age? And then some animals age very quickly. You know, they die in 2 or 3 days and or die in 2 or 3 months. So everybody has their cycle. But the bottom line is once we figure out why we have aging and we want to stop it, which is a, you know, a moral issue, and we don't need to get into that, then, yes, we should be able to either slow down or reverse aging.
Well, now, very quickly, a moral issue. You're talking about making a decision for an abortion?
No, I'm talking about you really want to be 240 years old,
okay.
Sitting in the chair watching, listening to Larry Connors every day.
Well, I want to be here at 500 years still talking to those 250-year-olds. So, you know, but I'm looking at some of the things that come along with these disease symptoms that folks might be pay attention to, loss of muscle coordination, poor growth, neurological issues, kind of a brain fog often, visual hearing problems, heart, liver, kidney disease. I mean, there's a combination of these things that we all end up saying, well, they died of this or this or this, but these are all some pre-advice, I'm using precursors of possible that you have a mitochondria issue.
Well, I think once you figure out the basic issue, why things die, things break down, cell division stops, you know, growth stops, then you're going to be able to cure all those things. So once it's not just going to be anti-aging, it's going to be why does this disease, and you picked a bunch of them, but why does this disease create death or premature death? So once you can figure out the basis, then I think you're going to be able to take an 11-year-old or a 15-year-old that has some kind of whacked out disease or cancer or genetic condition and say, okay, let's walk this back and let's see if we can prevent progression of this problem or reverse this problem. And this will happen, and this will happen in the next 15 to 20, 25 years. AI will resolve this.
Oh, okay. Well, now, for instance, I'm having a visual issue now. We're not yet sure what it is, but that's also a possible mitochondria. What about a loss of T? You were telling me the other day about someone in their early 20s, late 20s, and their T was for a male was down around 109 or something?
I've seen probably, I would say over my career, 20 or 30 athletes, and most of them professional athletes, to be honest, not naming names, with testosterone below 150, 140. You know, hey, I'm fatigued, I'm tired, I just don't have the energy I had. Now, the question is,
we're talking about sexual function. We're just talking about fatigue in general, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Just, you know, I wake up, I'm tired, I can't train, I just don't feel like myself. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted. not really discussing sexual function whatsoever, but just, you know, a quality of life issue.
Well, what would be a normal T level for someone of, say, 30 to 50?
I would say probably 400 or 500. You probably want to be right around 400 to 500.
That seems. I'm sorry, you're the doctor, but from what I've seen and heard, as if I'm an expert, I thought it should be maybe close to double that amount, or that be 18 to 20 and 25-year-old?
So if we're going to supplement somebody that age, let's say a 40 or 50-year-old, we're going to supplement them to 900 to 1,000. But okay. If you say, what do these people come in at? You know, they come in at 400 or 500. Now, if you take someone 18, yeah, their testosterone is going to be 900 to 1,000. But let's say somebody comes in, they're 52 years old, they're complaining of low energy, they just don't feel very good, they, you know, their skin temperature is not very good, maybe they've gained some weight, and we test them, let's say their testosterone is 210, you know, making this up.
Right.
Our goal is going to be 950 to 1050. You know, we want them at about 1,000. 900 to 1,000 is our target.
But for the most part, today's life, being either sedentary and or what we're eating, and mitochondria fitting into that equation, T is often very low for men compared to what it should be?
I'm shocked. I really think, first of all, I think we haven't done a good job. What we should do is we should take 10,000 people and just test them across the board and see what, and no one's done this, and see what standard, you know, what's the standard deviation for testosterone in different male eras. And we've done it on a low scale, not many, you know, not big numbers, but we should see, number one, we should try to correlate that with diet and environment and pollution and UVR, UV rays, and then try to see. But I would bet the testosterone, you know, if you measure testosterone over the last, whatever, 10,000 years, it's consistently gone down. We're less active. We have much more air pollutants. We're eating a lot of stuff that you can't help but eat. It's junk. Yes, it's gone down over the years.
And the mitochondria are affecting that, and so aging continues. Dr. Lehman, as always, we thank you. I'll be here 200 years from now, by the way.
And I'll be listening.
Oh, good. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Coming up, the fight on the House floor. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's important to note that in the name of DEI, our military has done some pretty strange things. Secretary Austin, in his first act, ordered a 24-hour stand down so that everyone could reflect on their extremism. The reality is, even majority-minority units in the military found this divisive. They complained to my office, and certainly it did not create a more lethal force. Also, in the name of DEI, we've hired some rather strange people in the government. There's one DEI officer named Calissa Wing, and she actually, if you can believe this, worked in the DEI's department at DDOA, the education system within DOD, and she put out the following inclusive tweet. I'm so exhausted at these white folks in these professional development sessions. This lady actually had the audacity to say that black people can be racist too. I had to stop the session and give Karen the business. This was the person that we had hired to create a more inclusive environment, and I think it's indicative of the inherently divisive culture that has permeated radical racial ideology. My amendment gives us the opportunity to pull it up by the root.
Pull it up by the root. He had a proposal, a piece of legislation, to strip DEI from our military. That is Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Now, when he was referring to the DEI member of the military assigned to them that supposedly is trying to bring inclusiveness and equity, calling about upset with this one person who said that blacks can also be racist. Well, I've always said that. I've said, if you think you are better because of the color of your skin, be you black, yellow, white, whatever, red, let's make sure we include the American Indian. If you think you're better simply because of the color of your skin, you're racist. If you think anyone else is inferior because of the color of their skin, you're racist. Period. I want to read something to you. This is direct from the Army Diversity Strength page. They have a page devoted to all about diversity. Then again, this is what we're having take place inside our military right now. Not how well can you perform the job necessarily and the ability on merit, but based upon skin color. For the most, we have at this point, we have a volunteer military. If they're volunteering to go in, I welcome them. We should welcome them. We do not have enough qualified young men and women if we were simply to say across a sample of this nation, Dakota Wood, retired Marine colonel, now with the Heritage Foundation, estimated maybe 3 out of 10 would qualify for a military position. That's based upon their current physical strength and or ability, no health issues, no drug abuse issues. And I'm not talking about just smoking a marijuana joint from time to time. I'm talking about deep into drugs, things of that nature. And we want the best. We want the most fit. And quite honestly, if you're going to volunteer to be in the military, you want to be that. Because if they're suddenly going to put you on the front somewhere, you want to be prepared to deal with the enemy. And you really don't care who's beside you or what color skin they are. If they've got your six, as they say, your back when it comes to a military action of some type. Same in police. In the Marines, I had a DEI that would get right, as they all do, right in their face where we're going to be breathing the same breath. And his spit is falling all over my face as he's shouting at me, nose to nose, eye to eye. Only I'm having to look up because he's about a 6 to 12 inches taller than me. The man was black as coal. I didn't see him that way. I saw him as a green DI, a green drill sergeant, and I was going to do whatever that man said, or I was going to pay a price for it. And I didn't ever consider he's picking on me because I'm white. He's picking on me because I was a boot, and he was going to make me better if I was going to become a Marine. And I remember graduation day, encountering him and shaking hands, and at that point, I actually felt an equal. I was not near his equal at that point, simply because I finished boot camp. But he had done his best while he had me under his wing to make me and others ready. and the others in the platoon. Again, that we no one cared about color. There were no discussions about it. None. Now, there might be differences that would occur occasionally, and it might be involve a black-white. It might involve two white guys from one area, different areas of the South, or one from South, one from the North. You know, those Yankees, you got to watch them. I did that. I shouldn't have done that. Or it could have been two blacks that have the same issue. Now, you didn't grow up the side of a city I did. But that's common. That's just going to happen. What we've done is take that and magnify and say, that is clear evidence we need DEI in our military. So here's what it reads from the Army Diversity Strength page. About diversity, equity, and inclusion, they read diversity, all attributes, experiences, cultures, characteristics, and backgrounds of the total force which are reflective of the nation we serve and enable the Army to deploy, fight, and win. I just read it, and I can't really tell you what it means other than reading the words again. But that apparently means diversity, all attributes, whatever, reflective of our nation. Okay, I'll try to understand it on that basis. Equity, fair treatment, access, opportunity, choice, and advancement for all soldiers and civilians while striving to identify, encourage others, and identify and eliminate barriers that have prevented full participation of the total force. There was a time that that actually existed, even during World War II. Blacks were not allowed to fly planes. They were not considered to be smart enough to fly them. And yet, when they put together a squadron of them, the Red Tail Squad, they became some of the most proficient and saved a lot of bomber crews, making sure they got back to base. Inclusion, the process of valuing, integrating each individual's perspectives, ideas, and contributions. I'm going to stop reading it there, because when it says valuing and integrating each individual's perspectives and ideas and contributions, not if you disagree with them, they're not going to include you. That does not mean inclusion. It means exclusion. So when this person that Matt Gaetz was talking about, saying I had to call that Karen out, that's reference to the woman in New York City some years ago. Remember in the park, a white woman by the name of Karen, who called police because there happened to be a black man walking his dog nearby, and she got frightened. That woman needs help if something like that triggered her. The man was doing nothing wrong, walking his dog, wasn't even trying to talk to her anything. But she thought, oh, my God, there's a black man here with a dog. Lady, you're in a city park. He's entitled to be there. And her name was Karen, and that's why they all started saying, yeah, all these white people, especially women, if they speak up, they're Karens. Well, a lot of them might well be. And I'm with you. I'd call them out, too. You're an idiot for being that frightened. It also goes the other way. For some black people, they'd end up in an area, and they're fully surrounded by whites. They get a little worried. You know what broke that down in the South more than anything else? Sports. Sports and music. You had people coming together, enjoying and really competing, enjoying and celebrating together, and the music. Elvis Presley was considered more black than white by many. And then you had country music star. Well, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Daniels. Not Daniels, but I'll think of it here in a moment. Bottom line is they wouldn't even put his picture on the album. And he said they won't do it because I'm black and they don't think it'd sell. They did. But music and sports brought a lot of that together. The military has done that as well. Are there still issues and disputes? Yes. But are we trying to train them to be ready to fight or to worry about a pronoun or offending somebody that, I didn't mean it in that way? No. If you tell a joke and it ends up offending someone, and you know it does, then you should apologize. If you're telling it purposely trying to hurt them, shut your mouth. So in response to Congressman Gates on the House floor, talking about Charlie Pride is who I was trying to think about a moment ago, the black entertainer, country song, great entertainer. I interviewed him once, and we were talking specifically about how his picture was not allowed on the album cover for a while. Well, in response to Congressman Gates pushing to get DEI out of the military, New York Congressman Steve Horsford, and I mention this only because, just to show it, it could have been a white man. He is a black man. He's not one of these where you say, just by chance, he's not just by chance, he is a black man. But he's taking issue with Gates, and he's doing it in such a fashion that it actually broke the decorum on the House floor.
Every day, our military grows more diverse, more and more reflecting the diversity of our nation. This amendment does nothing to address the recruitment shortfalls that our services are facing, and instead, it will only make it more difficult to recruit Americans on diverse backgrounds, representing the true makeup of our nation. What are you so afraid of? Why do you keep bringing these divisive issues to the body of this floor? You are out of order. You are exhausting,
Mr. Gates. The gentleman is no longer recognized. The gentleman is no longer recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the childish antics that we just observed indicate that we've got a lot of work to do, both in this House and the military, not to have radical racial ideology governing our discourse and governing the policy choices that we make in these bills. The policy choice that my amendment seeks to make ensures that we do not have the cancer of DEI harming our military. I would yield 1 minute to the gentlelady from Florida.
Now, they broke decorum because they're not supposed to address the other members. They're supposed to be addressing the chair. And Congressman Gates wanted a ruling, took a while for to get a parliamentary ruling, and that's when he made his statement. It was not out of control. If you go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, you're going to find on there how a bunch of legislators got out of control in Kosovo, and I mean, they were throwing fists and water and everything else. They didn't get that bad in our House chamber. But that event from Kosovo might have triggered fantasies for some on both sides of the aisle in our political election, or our political gathering. By the way, California Governor Newsom is siding with Republicans on a crime bill. Is the governor serious, or is he pandering?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
California. In California, a Republican introduced a bill talking about how California leads the nation in reported cases of human trafficking, and it's only considered as a minor. It should become a serious felony. But the Democrats are trying to block the bill. They want to make trafficking still a minor crime? Are you kidding me? Well, California Governor Newsom stepping forward, an unusual intervention. He's supporting the Republican bill, saying, yeah, we should make it a felony to be trafficking in children. That's common sense. It's also possible that Governor Newsom is realizing, if I'm going to run for president at some time, I got to acknowledge child trafficking is not a minor offense. Of course it's not. Maybe some of you did take place. You haven't shared it with me. They had a big gathering up at the Capitol Square in Madison over the last weekend. Their naked bike ride. Men, women gathering in droves, riding around on bicycles, absolutely naked. And some might have shoes on, obviously, or bike helmets, but otherwise maybe sunscreen. As one person watching it said, you know, it's a spectacle. It's kind of liberating. And one of them said, you're just kind of communicating with people. And added, you know, I recognize some of them. In what way? I'm just asking. But the issue here is they, at one of them decided to be a cool idea to take a minor child on the naked bike ride. And the police wouldn't do anything about it. No, we cannot allow that. You're of age, you want to ride around naked, and the rest of the people are willing to let you do it, but not in front of kids, and don't include children. We got to correct those things, and we need to do it right away. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.